The passage is 2 Chronicles chapter 16, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 9. And I'd like to encourage you to look at the idea of healing from the combination of the spiritual as well as the physical in this passage, and how some of the ups and downs of life that was mentioned earlier in the service can affect the way we view salvation and healing. Salvation comes from the word that we get from the Greek, salve. And salve is an application for healing. And you also, we would hope, be saved from the malady at the same time. Salvation, salve. And in the context of this passage, we find that in verse 9, the eyes of the Lord are looking all over the earth. In other words, my heart is being looked at by the Lord. Your heart is being looked at by the Lord. And it says, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. You have acted foolishly in this, the scripture continues. Indeed, from now on, you will surely have wars. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. And so apparently, as the Lord's eyes move to and fro from the earth, we have a heart that has some mixture. Now, who hasn't had hearts that have mixtures of good and bad? King David admitted that. And he desired a heart that would be cleansed from this tension. And perhaps it would be good advice from even looking at this verse, that when we examine our hearts, and if we have hearts that are mixed and dark and good at the same time, that we can say, Lord, I can't do anything about my heart. I need to go to you to cleanse my heart. I don't know of anyone else from the Word of God that can do that other than God. But he still examines the hearts. And perhaps that's through his Holy Spirit as he convicts the earth. In verse 10, we find the king of Israel has also a reaction. He's angry. He's angry with, my translation says, seer. Perhaps your translation says prophet, God's spokesman. He's angry with the revelation that came through a prophet, a seer, a messenger from God, and put him in prison, put him in confinement. Didn't like that. He had control. He had the capability, so he says, I'm going to take care of this fellow that doesn't agree with me. And perhaps is in behind the scenes, God is saying, seer, go to the king and urge him to examine his heart. And the king is angry. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. In verse 11, and now the acts of Asa from first to last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah in Israel, and in the 39th year of his reign. That's a long term, isn't it? 39 years. 39 years he was reigning. He had foot disease. If I was going to equate that today as I read this, disease of the feet, what would be a common disease of the feet? We hear a lot about it. Unfortunately, we have all known people that have had to have amputation. Most likely a diabetes condition, maybe At any rate, circulation was limited. He had a disease of the feet. And this is what the scripture unusually declares. Yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. He did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So the Bible's message, including our scripture today, is that we seek not just one or the other. And if you've read this beautiful chapter on healing in ministry of healing, prayer for the sick, she says, don't neglect the medical part of it. Follow healing agencies. It's not just prayer, but it's a marriage. It's a marriage. And King Asa was to the point where he was apparently upset at the church, the clergy, the seer, the prophet, the messenger, to the point, I'm not going to go there. And he only sought the physician. Today, we have one in our midst who's chosen not to be like King Asa. In other words, a decision on Brigetta Davis's part not to neglect the healing remedies, but also one that knows and raises people. Raises those that need help. The healing agencies of the Spirit have been wonderfully confirmed in a book, David Levy's book, A Neurosurgeon, in which, as a devout Christian, he knew the risks, he knew his skills, but he also knew the risks of putting an instrument in the groin of a person and through monitors operating on aneurysms in the brain. Now, I know we're often hearing about instruments that go up from the groin area into the heart, but this was a new frontier for me as I read his testimony about how he, as a Christian, came to the point where he must invite, and the word invite is important, must invite those that, if they would like to have prayer from the great physician before he takes that important step in surgery. And his entire beautiful masterpiece of a book is about the reactions and how the healing agencies of forgiveness are employed as he relates to the patient, and how the invitation to pray also involves at points confession and forgiveness, as we find also in the passage that we had for scripture reading, confession and forgiveness. He found there was tremendous blessings that come from the spiritual united with the physical. So much so that at points he thought, he says early in, as he began this courageous career change in which none of his peers, in fact, he was concerned about what his peers would think. You mean you pray before this? But when he crossed that threshold, the tremendous blessings that occurred for both patient and physician, to the point where he thought that this was key to my success. And it was. But statistically, even though he had great, great results, there was times where the outcome was not as he would wish as well. Leaving that element for God's sovereignty in his will regarding the future for every patient. What is anointing? We often use oil in this process. But we find all sorts of various experiences in the Bible, even from Jacob anointing a rock. The rock fulfilling the purpose of God. It was anointed so that any time that Jacob would pass by that rock, that holy place, that anointed rock symbolized to him contact with the spiritual. We find in Exodus a number of times where the furniture of the sanctuary was anointed, set apart for the purpose of God. One of the passages that I recently looked at in preparing for this time, again, seeing how David was anointed in 2 Samuel, rather maybe it's 1 Samuel, where the Holy Spirit follows immediately, almost like a real-time experience, where the Holy Spirit comes upon David in that anointing experience. So inanimate objects are anointed. People are anointed. So apparently there is, from the scripture evidence, any time that there is a calling to set a person or a thing to fulfill the purpose of God, that is very appropriate to be anointed. As I mentioned, the Holy Spirit accompanied the oil, the anointing experience, and that's perhaps why the tradition of oil and the Holy Spirit are closely united in the Word of God. Let's, if you have your Bible, let's look at the scripture reading for a few minutes. Again, that's James chapter 5. And in this passage, we find the only place in all of Scripture where there is a explicit call for corporate forgiveness, either corporately or even the act of confession and the experience of confessing sin in a group. In Ministry of Healing, where Ellen White talks about the confession component, she says that public sins should be, for the sake of the healing of the body, should be confessed publicly. Private sins should remain that way. So she is an advocate of what we find in the reading of James chapter 5. Some of you have been at the ABC and said and seen the volume by Dick Tibbetts on Forgive to Live. In reading that book, I highly advocate anyone that has struggled with the issue of confession and forgiveness and the benefits. And if you've struggled and want to have a great impetus to raise the experience of being able to forgive others, this is a marvelous guide. It's called Forgive to Live. Forgive to Live. And truly, it is an appropriate title for that. And I sense that that's what the Word of God is highlighting. Elizabeth Ostring wrote an article in Ministry Magazine for us pastors, and she wrote it about anointing, and she talked about this fellow that wanted to ask for a public anointing. And so they were gathering into the church, and they had this public anointing, and his plan all along was that he knew he was a troublemaker. He had read this passage and was under the conviction that in the anointing experiences he read in this passage that he should have a public confession time. And it led the church into a level of transparency because of his willingness to confess. And then the remaining 16 months of his life, the church was now on a course that it had never had been on before because of his catalyst, his spiritual catalyst in applying these principles from our scripture reading. What about the oil? We mentioned it represents the Holy Spirit, but what else does it represent? We find that Jesus advocated the use of oil in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, he says to the disciples, take some oil along and anoint them as well. Apparently, in the spirit of the times, oil did symbolize remedial agents, healing agents, being able to symbolize that. But actually, some of you are into oils as well. Perhaps there's more than symbolism. Some of you would say, oh, yes, certainly there is. Oil and healing. What happened when the Good Samaritan found the person that was injured, and what did he do? I might just say for us that perhaps we don't carry wine and have it ready for healing, but maybe that should be classified as the alcohol of today. He was wounded, open wounds, so he had what would be generally considered back then alcohol in wine, and he had oil. He had oil. So both Jesus and Jesus' story highlights oil in that manner. Anointing is a public declaration of the total dedication for God to take that object or that person for his special use. You know, we have in baptism, and I'm assuming that many of us have been baptized here as a way of moving into the community of faith. Baptism is a public declaration of acceptance of the saving power of Jesus, and anointing is that declaration that I want to fulfill the purpose of God in my life. James says this, is any one of you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him or her with oil in the name of the Lord. And that's what we have the privilege of doing today as well. And I believe we have a hymn right now. And then following that hymn, Brigetta will share her testimony in faith.
Well, you're going to have to put up with me if I blubber. You all know that I've been struggling with rheumatoid arthritis for about 11 years. And a while ago, Roger preached, I think it was a whole series, on anointing. And I thought about it, but, well, I guess I kind of figured a lot of people have a lot of issues. And so I'm not anything special. I was doing quite well on my diet and all those other things. I was doing okay. And I had a lot of other questions about it too. Things that I was wondering about. But then, recently, I was faced with a whole new challenge. Just a few days before Lindy's wedding, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And, that was a bit of a shock. It was certainly not anything that was even on my radar. And, well, I went through the weddings and the trip and everything, and clearly it was a time that I couldn't really deal with it. And then when I came back from my trip, it all came back kind of with a vengeance, one doctor's appointment to another, and I still don't know the entire extent of it, because surgery is actually what reveals that. There have been some good news in this, but from the doctor's standpoint, I'm not going to get away without chemo and radiation and all that good stuff. So as I was thinking about that, I thought, well, back to the idea of anointing. And I struggled with a number of different aspects. What if God were to heal me? What if that develops some spiritual pride in me? What if he doesn't heal me? What if there are people who will become scoffers and say, oh, look, she cried to the Lord, and what did he do? Nothing. Just a whole lot of conflicting emotions that have gone through me. In the end, I have decided none of these are issues that are in my hands. They are in God's hands. It is for God to look after me. It is for God to look after others. So they have set a surgery date for me for September 6, which is on Thursday. And as I looked at that, I had thought, well, I should be anointed. And as I was talking with the pastor and Daylene, pastor said, well, how about in 2 weeks? And I thought it through, and I thought, well, you know, in 2 weeks I've had surgery. So I really want it to happen before surgery. Because what's the point of not giving God first chance? So here is how I feel about this whole thing. God may choose to heal me today. If he does, all glory and praise to him. God may choose to heal me gradually over time. All glory and praise to God. God may choose to heal me through the work of the doctors. And all glory and praise to God. And God could choose to not heal me at all. And still, all glory and praise to God. I know he's with me. And he won't let me go. So whatever he chooses to do is okay. Now, there may be times where I won't feel like that. But in the long run, My prayer is that he will do whatever is important for my eternal good. What happens here on earth may not be fun, but it's a drop in the bucket in the light of eternity. So, I want to give God the opportunity to do whatever he wills. And I want you all to praise God with me through whatever he does. What I ask for today, obviously, is that he will heal me. Not just of cancer, but of arthritis and whatever else there might be in my body. There are constantly new things popping up that surprise me. So I trust in him. I know he can. I have no doubt in my mind that he can heal. If he chooses not to, it's not because he can't, but because he knows a better path for me. That's it.
As the scripture invites us, that the elders of the church be part of these special prayers of asking the Lord to act on behalf of one who so beautifully shared her testimony of faith. So, Brigetta, I invite you to come in this area of the platform along with the elders of the church, and we'll pray together. And I was so blessed, Brigetta, to read the scriptures that you had shared that you wanted to be, that have been precious to you and your experience of desiring God to be a very special part, especially of this stage in your life. And I believe Keith, would you read the first one that Brigetta has chosen for this service?
This is from Psalm 103, verses 2 through 4. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion.
And I'm reading from Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you.
Jeremiah 30, 17. For I will restore your health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Because they called out an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seek her.
And Brigetta, you also indicated that you'd like to hear Philippians 4:19. And this is what Paul has indicated. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And I believe all these passages have beautifully summarized and beautifully portrayed, as your testimony has indicated in your heart and in your life. So I invite the elders, if they so choose, to have prayers at this point and invite the congregation to pray with us as we have the anointing of a Brigida, our dear saint in this experience, saint in the wonderful New Testament sense, full of faith, and we'll ask the Lord to be part of this experience in her life.
Father in heaven, as we have this opportunity to ask you to intervene in the life of one who is part of our family and one of your children, we commend her to you, Lord, because of your love, because of what you have planned for the future. In whatever way those things come forth, we trust you, Lord, but we do petition for healing, and we thank you, Lord.
Father, we've been invited to come boldly before your throne of grace. You've promised so many blessings, and we have seen you do wonders just in our congregation. We have seen wonderful answers to prayer. And you've heard Brigida's words this morning. She's chosen to bless you, her soul, from her soul, and all that is within her to bless your holy name. She's given herself to you, and Lord, now we give her to you to bless her in the best ways possible.
Amen.
You know our heart desire is for her healing, and that's what we're requesting now from all, in all your wisdom, in Christ's name.
Father, we love you and thank you for everything you have provided throughout history for our very handicapped, sinful human condition. Thank you for the miracles that have been so well documented. Not only in biblical times, but even in recent times, for our faith, for your glory. Thank you that you have given Brigida a measure of this faith.
Amen.
That will glorify you in all circumstances. So bless as is your will. Amen.
Father in heaven, I praise you for Brigida. And I believe that she has typified much of what Paul has indicated, that when the outer man is weak and changes due to our mortality, that the inner person gets stronger and glorious. And so, Lord, we're just asking in response to that marvelous question, is anyone sick among you? Yes, we can certainly say in the affirmative. And so we're following this scriptural injunction. Thank you for this congregation that prays with us. And we're going to follow your word, and with the oil that represents both the remedial aspects of what Brigida is going to move into, if it is what you would ordain, and also the wonderful Holy Spirit that rushed into various servants in marked ways in their ministry at this point. So we just think of that marvelous, marvelous passage in Psalm 23, the passage anointing my head with oil. And so we do that as for Brigetta at this point. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to pray on her behalf. And perhaps there may be others in this congregation that are ailing that we don't even know about it. Comfort them. And may this be a ministry all prompted because of the witness, because of the catalyst of the faith that Brigetta has shown us today. In Jesus' precious name, amen.